This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Let's go best of the weekend. You ready? After all, we get to do this for the first time this year.
Yep.
And Virginia Tech fans, go ahead. Virginia Tech fans, I got a message here for the Virginia Tech fans.
We are leading with you. Make a note. Right? And I will say one thing. Hokie Nation's calmed down lately because we've been giving the Hokies first up.
Right.
A lot of stuff. But this is a good one. This is a good one.
Yep. Because yesterday they took down the reigning national champion, top-ranked Thundering Herd of Marshall, 3-2.
West,
first win
what?
Against the number one ranked opponent since September of 2017.
Three unanswered goals in the second half. And coach said, you know what? Grit is the Virginia Tech way. I love that quote. So congratulations to the men's soccer program at Virginia Tech. That is a big-time win. And that's a Marshall team, by the way, with I think everybody back except one starter that won the national championship last year. That is a terrific W.
All right. Get ready, NC State. You're next, right? Coleman Stewart sets a world record in the 100-meter backstroke, 48.33. Look at the mood lighting now in swimming, by the way.
I like it.
What is that about?
I kind of like it. And by the way, that's faster than my Ford
F-150. How do you watch the race?
What do you mean, how do you watch the race? The guy from NC State's in first. Pretty easy.
Yeah, by a lot. By a lot.
That's quick, too.
It was. 48.33. Congratulations this morning. Pitt volleyball coach Dan Fisher won his 200th game. The 11th Pitt coach in any sport to win 200 games.
Yep. You know, Pitt didn't win the championship last year in the league. I have a funny feeling there'll be chip on shoulder at Pittsburgh this year. He's a tremendous coach, been on the show multiple times. Are we going to miss Kayla Lund? I mean, Kayla Lund was like one of our favorites, man. She was so cool to talk to on the air. But this guy's a really good coach, man. He knows what he's doing.
There you go. All right, congratulations to Coach Fisher. ACC Women's Golf essentially powered Team USA to a Curtis Cup win. Take your pick. Rachel Keane, Gina Kim, Amelia Migliaccio, all on the team. U.S. cruised to a 5-point win after dominating in singles play.
USA. USA. Get ready for it. Ryder Cup coming up. USA. I tell you one thing. Congratulations to the ladies. Certainly got an ACC flair there. But for folks that are watching that golf yesterday, that playoff, that was high-level stuff yesterday. That was good. But congratulations to the ladies.
That was a big putt Patrick Cantlay made. That was a big putt.
One. He made about 100.
So, he made a big one in the playoff to win, though.
I'm convinced that Bryson DeChambeau should just wear a Dodgers hat. I'm convinced. He'd be perfect. Just wear a Dodgers hat the rest of your career. Can really appreciate it. I love Cantley winning yesterday. I got to tell you, it's got nothing to do with the ACC, but I'm just going to throw that one in there. That was great. That was great stuff yesterday.
Yeah. All right. Florida State women's soccer 4-0. They played in front of 2,500 fans, second largest crowd.
How about that?
A 4-0 win over Colorado.
How about the crowd, though, huh? That is impressive. Hopefully War Chant was there to cover that. Ladies are excellent.
Yeah.
They are. Listen,
there you go.
You talk about a team with a chip on their shoulder after the way last year ended? Watch out.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you know how good this league is. You know what? We cover this sport big time. Florida State's going to be dangerous, man. They are talented with something to prove.
Claudia Dickey records 9 saves. Carolina's 2-0 win over Ohio State pack.
Yep. Congratulations.
So, congratulations, Claudia. Duke men's soccer tallies 7 goals in the first 2 games of the season. 3-0 win over Liberty, and then 4-0 over Merrimack. Blue Devils, most goals in the first two games since 2014 when they scored 9. Look out. That's long. There's another one. Crosser.
Oh, you kidding me?
Wow, how about that?
Hey, goalie, just stay there. Seriously, just lay flat on your back. It's not worth it. Once it's 3-0.
Yeah, Merrimack just probably needs to go back and think that one over.
Yeah, once it's 3-0, just order lunch. Have DoorDash deliver something to you. Just lay flat on your back. The thing's over. You're not coming back. It's over.
All right. Never too early, Pack, for women's golf collegiate rankings or men's golf collegiate preseason rankings. 5 ACC teams ranked in the first WGCA coaches poll. Duke, Wake, Florida State, Virginia, and Virginia Tech all in the top 20. Duke and Wake and Florida State in the top 10. So there you go.
That's no surprise. No surprise.
No, not at all. All right. Men's side. All right. The Golf Coaches Association preseason poll. North Carolina, Wake Forest, Clemson, Florida State, Georgia Tech, and Notre Dame all listed.
Pretty impressive that Notre Dame, given the conditions of the calendar, cracking that top 25. That's golfing your ball. You learn how to play in the cold now when the wind's blowing. But this league, I mean, we talk about this. We talk about this all spring, Wes. You know, when we're sitting there covering lacrosse and field hockey and golf and tennis and all the other sports that are going on, the league is unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, it really is. It's incredible when you start talking about Olympic sports, spring sports, all that stuff. And so we're finally getting kind of back in the flow of things on a regular basis, which is great. So that's why we cover it. We cover all the sports, all the teams. All the sports, all the teams, Wes.
There you go.
One more thing that needs to be added to this list. And we've mentioned it before. Can't spell Hall without the letter A. And Wes Durham makes it to another Hall of Fame. How many is that for you now? Stop. 10, 15? How many you got now? How many we got?
Two.
Two. That's all right. It's close.
Two. Yeah.
Two, 10, whatever. It's all good.
But you,
congratulations on this.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thanks again to the people at Apex. It's incredibly humbling because I was just a role player at best, I promise, just like the tweet says. But it was awesome to be included in that group, and thankful for the friendships and the experiences of my high school. No question.
You think? By the way,
a couple of other things.
Wait. Hold on. You're not gonna fly through this. What do you think the chances this morning after this show that Joe Kennedy at Davie High School? Well, by the way, hold on. Joe Kennedy at Davie High School tries to get me into the Davie Hall of Fame after this show. Wait, give me an FPI percentage on that.
Zero. That'd be a zero.
That would be a zero.
That'd be a zero.
That would be a zero.
Story, if you missed it in the If you missed the story in the first hour, former athletic director at Apex High School, Ed Tindall, watches the show. Good morning, Coach Tindall.
Are we going with this story
again? And a buddy
again?
Of his was the football coach at Davie County High School named Joe Kennedy, who Pack does not know, remember, couldn't
pick him out of a lineup.
Joe Kennedy remembers Mark Packer. Hey, he remembered you. That's all that matters.
Again, I apologize, Joe. I really do. Whoever you are, I apologize. And if we're best buds, you got it. Let's get that Hall of Fame nomination up there, right? I mean, I do think in high school I was the player of the year in golf or something. I mean, you know, no role player here. Let's get this thing
rolling.
Were
you really?
I think so. Okay. It's 100 years ago. Who knows?
Player of the year?
Who knows?
All right. Some people. Hey, let me just tell you.
I'm in no Hall of Fame.
The one thing I have found out in 400.
I'm at zero in the Hall of Fame department. Zero. And I'm proud of that. I've worked very hard to get to that.
We can take care of that.
I'm working on right now with Joe Kennedy.
Ask Drew Brooks, our producer. We can get you in the Hall of Fame. Can I tell you a really quick story about something I think is funny?
Uh-oh.
A buddy of mine who is the voice of the the voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes, Paul Keels.
He's great.
Great guy. Been a friend for years and years. Paul Keels was inducted into the Ohio Radio Hall of Fame many years ago, 10, 12, something like that. And we jokingly, a small group of us, refer to him as the HOF, Paul Keels HOF, Hall of Fame, right? Well, Keels broke news to us, oh, I don't know, 6, 8 years ago, that the Hall of Fame actually closed. So the Ohio Radio Hall of Fame apparently hit hard times and they had to shut their doors. I don't know if they reopened or not, but bless, I hope they did, because there are a lot of talented Ohio radio people. Marty Brenneman, for example, talented radio guy. So Paul broke news to us that the Ohio Radio Hall of Fame closed. Does that take away the fact you're inducted? No, it's just there's not a place to
His new nickname should be XHOF. That's what I'd call him. XHOF.
Okay. Next time he's on your show, you can do that.
He's
okay?
Awesome. By the way, let me tell you about Keels. Great. Let me say one thing about Keels real quick. And I've told him this on radio. I'm trying to get rid of my phone. I just hate being on the phone all the time. But I wanted Keels to do, when you call me, for anybody that knows my number, I wanted Keels to do the voice because he sounds like God. If I ever meet God one of these days, it's going to sound just like Keels because he's got the perfect pipes. I mean, he really does. So I told him I want him to do that.
Yes, he does.
So XHOF.
All right. A couple of other notes. Yeah. XHOF. That's right. Pitt Panthers women's lacrosse season officially begins today. Why is that a big deal? They're starting lacrosse. Pittsburgh.
Very first.
There you go.
Right.
We welcome Pittsburgh lacrosse.
Excellent.
To the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Very cool.
There you go. Congratulations. Good luck to those guys, and look forward to catching up on your progress
ladies,
as the season unfolds.
We wish the ladies the best.
Absolutely. Roy Williams, when you retire, coach, this is kind of stuff that happens. He's going to be the keynote speaker for the class of 2020.
He'll be great.
Commencement ceremony on October 10th at Keenan Stadium.
He'll be great.
So the old boy from Spruce Pine will deliver the keynote. Looking forward to that.
He will be outstanding.
Yes, he will.
Excellent.
So, congratulations to Coach. UNC's field hockey. This is not a best of now, but we're going to have a talk, apparently, Pac. UNC's field hockey team has dropped back-to-back games in a season for the first time since 2013 and opened 0-2. For the first time since 1992.
That's not good. By the way, we're still looking for our third back-to-back-to-back field hockey national championship stick in here. That way Wes can scratch his back during the show. So Karen Shelton's busy, but that's right. That was not on the agenda. Not on the agenda.
No.
So the ladies will figure it out. No doubt.
All right. Sit tight when we come back. Power Hour continues on this Monday. Don't forget, we are going to be in West Raleigh, live from NC State on Thursday morning, 7 o'clock, somewhere in the vicinity of Carter-Finley Stadium, we think.
We don't even know yet,
folks have asked, can we come by?
Yeah,
we don't
can.
Know yet. We'll let you know by Wednesday.
Yeah,
how's
please
that?
Do. Stop by. When you find out where we are, let us know. We'd really appreciate it.
Yeah. When you find out where we are, you let us know, and we'll see you at 7 a.m. Thursday morning from Raleigh on ACC Network and on the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Back after this, Virginia's got a facility situation they want to upgrade. They're not touching the rotunda, by the way. But Scott Stadium and some of the other football elements, definitely under the microscope when we continue in a moment.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. We just gave you the best and one worst of the weekend. But there was another story over the weekend, Wes, that caught our attention.
Yeah.
And that involves some comments made at the University of Virginia from power brokers, Carla Williams, Bronco Mendenhall, regarding facilities and facility upgrades at the University of Virginia.
Well, and the good news is, in the reporting of Brian McKenzie's outstanding here from the Daily Progress in Charlottesville, that the Board of Visitors at the University of Virginia supports the idea of funding a $136 million athletics project that includes $65 million to build a football training facility. Now, in the scenario that Virginia's looking at, Scott Stadium, David A. Harrison, the third field at the Carl Smith Center is in great shape from that standpoint. It's really not about the venue for football. What it is about, Pack, and tell me if you've heard this before, it's about all the infrastructure for the football program. They've got the George Welsh Indoor Center. They've done some practice field upgrades, but the McHugh Center is where the football offices are. Now, this facility is relatively new, but the McHugh Center, where the football operations takes place, things of that nature, that is outdated. And that's an area, as you know, Mark, how many times do we hear from coaches? I mean, Jeff Hafley was just with us. Boston College, that's what they're building. Clemson's got a standard. Who's not renovating something in this world right now? This is what the University of Virginia wants to get in the game with, and it's a football athletic training facility, if you will, that, quite frankly, a lot of football teams, that's their central nervous system. That's where everything happens. I mean, how many times do we talk to coaches who say the most important thing about the facility is it's not just a locker room, it's not just a training room or a weight room, it's a gathering place and a community for the football program. And on college campuses these days, that's a pretty valuable tool, I think.
Well, the commissioner of the ACC, Jim Phillips, has made it crystal clear. Football is going to be a priority. It's a driving force right now in college athletics. And as I said earlier today on the show, schools have to determine, are you in? Are we committed to compete at the highest level? And that's true whether it's the ACC, the right. SEC, the Big Ten, the Pac-12, the MAC. It doesn't matter. You know, you need to determine, hey, are we in? And if you are, you've got to make these kind of commitments. If you're not, hey, we're not judging anybody, but if you're not, hey, sit back, take the right. check at the end of the year, and you know what? Accept the fact that you're going to be mediocre. You may have a spike every now and then where ball bounces right, you stay relatively healthy, but this is what it takes. And you know, when 16, 17, 18-year-olds go on your campus to check out your facilities and what you're all about, if you don't think it matters, you are crazy, man. Everybody talks, and recruits talk, and five stars like to hang with five stars. Have you been to schools A, B, and C? Yeah, I loved it. Or, no, man, their facilities stink. They talk. It has a trickle-down effect from the very top to the very bottom. So when this story came out and when I saw the comments from Carla Williams and Bronco Mendenhall, it sounds like, hey, we've got to be committed. So just keep your eye on this story moving forward, because Virginia drew the line in the sand, in my opinion.
Well, and Bronco Mendenhall really doubled down, because he took it all the way back to one of the reasons Virginia's been successful. They've been able to build and develop their program thanks in part to recruiting. And he said, quote, we've lost about eight recruits in a row, and we're talking about four and five-star recruits. They look at the facility, and it says to them that we don't care about football. Bang. That's all you need right there. Now, Mendenhall has done this when he analyzed the inventory of players and prospects they had in the program a few years ago. That caught some eyes and ears, and this did as well. To me, though, if the Board of Visitors has already moved forward with their support pack, Virginia is going to take this thing and run with it. At least I would, because if Carla Williams, who's already got a master physical plan for athletics, this also needs to keep moving ahead in terms of that product, because she also mentioned, Carla Williams did, that basketball is break even at this point. I mean, I would think it'd be better than that, but she knows the numbers better than we do.
Yeah, that statement, again, I know we're concentrating on football, but that basketball statement surprised me too. But, you know, if you were offended by what Bronco Mendenhall said, don't. I mean, he's blunt. He'll tell you right up front. And you mentioned a couple years ago, when he was doing a Q&A and somebody asked him about his talent level, he said, we basically have 27 guys out here that play ACC football. And, man, some folks in the media right. ripped him to shreds. I'm like, how are you ripping a guy for telling you the truth? Now, if he would have said, hey, we got 80 guys that could play for Clemson and Alabama, you'd have ripped him for that too. So, I mean, it was just kind of a, hey, if right. you want, it's the old, you know, can you handle the truth? And I think that's exactly where Bronco Mendenhall was coming from. He's a straight shooter. He's not looking to give you the clown show act. So I like that from Bronco. And like I said, when Carlo Williams and Bronco Mendenhall make the statements that they did, this became to me a very worthy story.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. And we'll look forward to watching the progress of the University of Virginia. Remember now, this is a priority piece of the Atlantic Coast Conference under Jim Phillips' administration as well. Football is going to start to take a bigger step toward the top of the rung here. It's already been there, in my opinion. You've had really good years, national championship years. You've had years of qualifying teams, one or more into the college football playoff. A year ago with Notre Dame and Clemson, you've always had a couple extra maybe thrown in there, even in the CFP. Football's priority here is important, Pac. Thus, the alliance last week and all the discussion points we had there. Each of these individual institutions, though, has to match that kind of mission. And that's the challenge each campus faces.
Well, I told you, schools, and I mentioned this 100 times on radio. I think we're going down a path that athletic directors around the country are going to have to make some really tough decisions. And I'm not talking necessarily in the quote-unquote Power Five. I'm talking about smaller conferences and schools who say, you know what, football is maybe a liability. I it will not surprise me at the end of the day that the gap between the ACC, SEC, Big Ten, Pac-12, and whatever becomes of the Big 12, who knows, but the gap between those guys and everybody else, I think, is only going to get wider as we move forward. There's going to be more power, more money going to the big boys, and I think the quote-unquote mid-range teams and conferences are going to have some tough decisions to make where maybe football just doesn't make financial sense and they're going to have to drop it. But within the ACC, Wes, and again, it starts at the top with Jim Phillips. Football needs to be a priority, so get there. And if you don't make that kind of commitment, you're going to get lapped. You're going to get lapped. You're going to get embarrassed on Saturdays. It's just the way it is. So you're either in or you're out. There's no gray area here. You got to commit.
There you go. We return the last half hour of the Monday program. Comes up next. Pac, did you see a segment on game day Saturday? They had a look at teams that might be it might feature breakout players. Did you see that on Saturday on game day?
I watched.
You see that segment?
I am a religious game day watcher. I was excited, glad to see fans back and everything else. And they did a segment on players to know in 21. And there was an interesting theme about that, but we'll get into it in the next segment.
Yeah, we'll do that. Quick reminder to you, number two in our All Access with Miami Football. Episode 2 airs Wednesday night at 7. If you missed episode 1, it's going to air at 7. Episode 2 is at 8, I should say. So Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, episode 2. Episode 1, if you missed it, is at 7. But the premiere of episode 2 with Manny Diaz and the Canes as they get ready for Alabama is Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app, where you can always watch episode 1 if you got time today. You don't have to wait till Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Okay, who's going to have a breakout season? Who are the breakout candidates? Maybe names you should know as we get ready for week one of ACC football. That's next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham, it's game week in the ACC. We will be in Raleigh, don't know where. Maybe it'll be a little Packer Durham scavenger hunt. Can you find the host? We'll keep you abreast of that. But we will be there Thursday with Tuffy. So I say that as if I know Tuffy's going to be there. Tuffy better be there after all the hype. Man, we've given that wolf pup more hype than he or she. Do we know if it's a he or a she dog pup? Do we know, Wes?
No.
Do you know?
No.
I don't
either. We don't. No. And here's the other thing, too. We don't know that Tuffy will be there, but you have built it up to be that Tuffy better be there or else you're not going to be there. And now we don't even know if Tuffy's going to be there.
Tuffy better be there. I mean, I've been talking about this since I got since I got off my COVID bed. We're going to be on the road because I found out that we were going to be on the road laying in the bed because you were promoting, you know, we're going to be at the South Florida game. I'm like, wow, I didn't even know that. Cool. I hope I'm well.
They told me to say it.
I know. So I'm assuming.
I kept waiting on them to tell me we're going to be in Blacksburg too, but that's not happening.
That's not happening. We're not in Blacksburg, right?
No, we're not going to Blacksburg. No, no. We're in Raleigh.
Well, we're kind of there. So. Yeah. All right. Nevertheless, let's get back on track here. But again, just stay tuned to Packer and Durham.
All right.
And if they tell us where we're going to be, because I plan on leaving here Wednesday after the radio show. Drive in the middle of the night, go up to Lexington, a little
That's
barbecue,
good.
And hook up with you guys. Wherever. What, do you have a hotel?
All right.
I'm just asking, do we have a hotel yet?
It's in an email.
I don't have that. Because I was planning on just sleeping in the truck at this rate. We'll figure it out. I won't expense ESPN.
Or the bus.
I don't know. We don't have no stinking bus. We don't have a bus. That's another network.
Oh. Okay.
We don't have a bus.
Okay.
If you want to stick something in the back of the Ford F-150, we can do that. Some flags, some pennants.
Like
I'll have
cot,
a mattress
a futon.
Back there.
You're going to sleep on the futon in the back of the F-150.
Yeah. The rate we're going. So sounds about right. Packing abs, and I'll fight you for the last piece of barbecue sandwich I didn't eat. All right, let's get to work here before somebody gets fired.
All right. So Thursday, we'll be in Raleigh. We'll let you know.
We'll get there. We're working on it.
7 a.m., we'll let you know.
We're working on it.
All right, here we go. The segment on game day Saturday that caught my eye was Names You Need to Know, and they got a brand new big screen on set. It's really nice. I like the whole setup they had there at Center Park Stadium, the artist formerly known as Turner Field there. They were going through a list of players, but something happened on the way to the segment because they didn't list anybody in the ACC. We had guys at Cincinnati and the Big Ten and the Big 12 and the SEC and Pac-12, and they didn't have anybody from the ACC.
Apparently, according to Game Day, there is no one to watch in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Nobody.
Nobody. There were guys mentioned who played last year. I'm like, well, that guy on defense at Iowa State couldn't even start at Clemson. He wouldn't even be a starter. I'm supposed to know who this guy is? Come on, man. Wake up a little bit. I love game day, but man, that segment, I was not thrilled with that segment.
Zero.
Nada. Just like the amount of runs the Giants scored against the Braves yesterday, and that list featured zero. Yeah. Zero.
There you
Hard
go.
To believe.
So if we couldn't find any on game day, so we thought we'd find some for you here. How's that?
The least we could do.
So in case they'll want to re-rack a little bit for maybe next week when they are covering Clemson, Georgia. Here's a list of ACC players that you might want to keep an eye on. Now, these are not the ones. These aren't the household names, folks. These are the names you're going to need to kind of – you've heard of some of them, but do the digging on some of these other ones. Let's start in Winston-Salem with Kalen Carson, because Dave Clawson played a lot of young guys in the secondary last year, but Carson was a young guy he was excited about. 25 tackles, had a pick and a breakup. But I mean, look at that. That's against UVA, by the way. Look at this pick. One hand.
Well, Dave Clawson had a couple guys emerge in that secondary last year that turned out to be players. Guy is a really good football coach. And man, they develop. It's thinking, you know, about the Deeks. They're going to develop good players.
Yep. All right, a couple of Carters are on this list. One plays for Duke and one plays at NC State. Dwayne Carter is a guy who, with Chris Rumpf and Victor Dimukeji and guys like that, Dwayne Carter's kind of been, you know, the underline, if you will, or the undercard. But he and Shaka Hayward are two guys that Duke's going to need to play at a very high level for the Blue Devils to bounce back from a tough season a year ago. The other Carter on this list, Mark, is one of the wide receivers at NC State. And there are a ton of these guys. You got Emeka Emezi. Don't forget about Devin Carter. 29 catches, almost 500 yards, and a couple of scores last year.
I'm with you 100% with that, Wes. Again, NC State, as we mentioned to Lauren Brownlow, some quiet confidence. They got a lot of guys back. Mm-hmm. I will emphasize again, I know eventually we will be in Raleigh Thursday, apparently, and NC State's going to take care of business against South Florida. But that game on September the 11th is a very, very important game. On the road at Mississippi State. Been telling you about that for months. That's the one you circle. To me, that will be the litmus test of how good is NC State.
There you go. Let's go to Tallahassee. A guy who contributed in pieces and spots last year for Mike Norvell. Bigger role this year for Travis Jay. Athleticism like crazy. Jay was a guy who ends up making plays in the secondary, was involved a little bit on special teams, but this is somebody that they were talking about quite a bit during the spring down at Florida State.
Don't you get a sense that Florida State Notre Dame is going to be closer than what people were talking about?
Yes.
Don't ask me why. You know, Notre Dame loses a bunch of dudes from last year. They've recruited great on the road. Jack Cohn, good luck. And I just think that Mike Norvell's got momentum right now with recruiting. They've got to be better than they were a year ago, right? I mean, McKenzie Milton's a great story. I like their quarterback room. Just think Florida State's going to be better than they were a year ago. That could be a really interesting game Sunday night in Tallahassee.
Yeah. Here's a name you definitely need to know. There are a lot of expectations for what Kenny Pickett brings to the table at Pittsburgh this year and what the Panthers might be able to become on both sides of the ball. Well, keep an eye on the tight end. Lucas Kroll only played in one game a year ago before being sidelined. He came back in the spring and was exceptional. The Florida transfer never got on track last year because of the knee injury. But get ready now. This is a handful, and you throw in Tipton and Addison and all these other guys they can get the ball to in the throw game. Don't forget about number 7 at tight end. He is a problem.
7, a weird number for a tight end, but that's okay. 9 of 10 wide receivers returned from a year ago. Pitt's going to score, boys and girls. And if the defense lives up to and develops as the year goes on, Pat Narduzzi, a defensive coach, you know, Pitt could be one of those teams that causes some issues. I keep telling you, there's a cluster of teams, Wes, that I think could have a major breakout. NC State's in there, obviously, coming off last year. I think you got to throw Pittsburgh in that mix, too. I think Pitt can have a really, really big year, especially if the defense develops.
All right, a name you need to know that is not top of mind should have come from our interview that we had with Malik Cunningham and Charlotte at the ACC kickoff, because Kelsey Riggs and I were talking to him about speed, and he mentioned Tyler Harrell. And following Tyler Harrell was as fast as Tutu Atwell. Excuse me? But that's what he said. So get ready. Tyler Harrell gets in space. Could be over, Pack.
I'm not saying over anything. It's Louisville football. Just telling you. I have no idea. I can't wait to talk to Satterfield tomorrow because he's great on the air with us.
I bet he can't wait to visit with you either.
Well, they're the mystery team. He's going to hopefully – maybe he can talk me off the ledge or go the other way. I mean, I don't know. I just don't have a feel for Louisville at all.
I got you. All right. Let's go to Miami. We got a couple players at Miami. A guy who played last year, whose name is there. Everybody remembers him. But somehow or another, this offseason, not much has been said about Don Chaney Jr. I mean, you know, you've gotten Cameron Harris, Jalen Knighton, the whole bit, but not a lot about Chaney. And to be honest with you, I mean, almost 5 yards a carry, 3 touchdowns, 300 yards last year, one of the 3 backs they used. I think Chaney's a guy you're probably going to need to know. Look, they got talent. They got a really good offensive line. That's a team I'm excited to see Saturday, too. What will they be packing when it comes time to take on number 1 Alabama? So keep an eye on Chaney. Defensively, you know Miami's got skill, but Roddy Jones put this on me a couple months ago. Look at big number 1, Nesta Jays Silvera. Pack, look at the tackles. 8 for loss, a forced fumble, point of attack. 0-1 technique guy. Could be interesting. I mean, that's a guy that was productive last year for Miami. Again, didn't make the list.
Roddy Jones knows him from some football now. Roddy's got an eye for talent.
Yeah.
He can figure all that out. Yeah. Like you said, Wes. All right, real Miami, quick. Miami and Bama, Saturday. You start getting some answers ASAP if you're the Canes and Alabama, for that matter, given what they lost to the NFL.
Yep. Couple more to add here to the list. One from Carolina, two from Georgia Tech. The one from Chapel Hill is Josh Downs. Now, here's a touchdown catch in the Orange Bowl against Texas A&M. Dyami Brown, Daz Newsome, you kind of knew all the household names. Josh Downs just kind of had a role last year. Seven catches, three scores, 120 yards. There are people beyond the walls of the ACC that think this guy may be one of the better receivers in the conference by the end of the year. Certainly, the guy throwing it to him could be the best quarterback in the league. If that combination starts to flourish, Downs is going to have a sensational year. Off to Atlanta for the last two. And we haven't covered everybody here, but we're just trying to pick and choose kind of from an area that guys you need to keep an eye on. Jordan Dominick, 35 tackles, four sacks, three forced fumbles last year. Andrew Thacker's defense ramps it up a little bit, should have a better year. This kid on the edge is going to have a chance. So keep an eye on Dominick. Now, this is okay to put this guy on this list, but this guy is not a name you need to know because you already should know it. And if you don't, get ready. Changed from 21 to number one in his uniform, but I think Jahmyr Gibbs is in the conversation as the best running back in the ACC. And next Saturday night, he gets a stage in Midtown Atlanta against Northern Illinois here on ACC Network. I'll be really, really interested to watch his start, Mark. I think he's capable of putting up some numbers in the first couple games.
I would agree. And everybody that we listed there, none of them were listed on game day. So that's why we could have probably gone two or three segments to get caught up and give you even more players. But I think, listen, everybody's excited. We want to see football. It starts Thursday for the ACC. At NC State, of course, taking on South Florida. It's a big weekend for a number of teams in this league. We got, as I told you, there's some narrative-changing opportunities for multiple teams in this league. And that will be a theme,
there you go,
in my opinion, good or bad, for the first two or three weeks of the ACC football season. Clemson, Georgia, whatever the outcome is, you know who those teams are. And they can, like I said, whoever wins, whoever loses, still can get in the college football playoff, whatever the case may be. So I'm not – that one I'm putting over here because that's just a number three versus five. It's a great game. Mm-hmm. But everybody else in this conference has an opportunity with games this week to make a statement. Everybody. And again, this is so important for the conference moving forward. You're coming on – I don't mean to rattle cages, but when you're coming off an 0-for bowl season – you look at some of these preseason polls, everybody thinks North Carolina and Miami are going to be really good. We know Clemson's going to be loaded. You know, who else can break through? How do you do that? You win games of note. And we got a couple coming up this week. So can't wait, Wes. We finally reached the starting line of the 21 college football season in the ACC.
All right. Sit tight when we come back. Final segment on this Monday program. We'll take a look around at some of the other preseason prognostications. Best in September before we're done. And a preview of tomorrow's Packer and Durham, all next on ACCN.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham, final segment of a game day Monday. We will be back, God willing, tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. sharp. Let's told otherwise. And Wes will be here in studio. I'm keeping his seat warm. So no Falcons game tonight, big man. Fuller is waiting for you to get back here in the studio.
Sounds good. Look forward to being there in the morning, catching up with the boys. We started this program today by talking to you about who's had success in September in the last 5 years. It's a really big month, not just the league games, not just this first weekend. They're big ball games next weekend and then on through the month. And look at Clemson since 2016. They're 20-0. Maybe the bigger surprise is North Carolina 7-up, 11 down in the month of September since 2016. Pack?
Yeah, that was the one that surprised me because I told you earlier, if you gave me five guesses, I probably would have been wrong. In fact, I know I would have been wrong. I would not have picked the convenience store for North Carolina at 7-11. And of course, you know, they're hoping that taking it to Lane Stadium in front of 66,000 absolute lunatics on Friday night will help. We will see. That is going to be some kind of scene at Lane Stadium, one of the great places to watch college football.
Yeah, and you see the Hokies, they're a host on Friday night, 13-4 since 2016, the month of September. So keep an eye on some of that stuff as you know, we work through the details of this week. More game previews tomorrow, and Scott Satterfield joins us on the show to tell Pack he does have an idea. And here's what you need to know about the Louisville Cardinals.
Well, I hope he does. I just said I think they're the – for me, they're the mystery team in the league. But Coach better know. I mean, he's getting paid handsomely to know the answer to that question.
All right, what else we got here?
There's one thing I'd like to say. And this goes through a kind of a theme since I've gotten back from my COVID issue. Mike Norvell, I want to talk to you a second. I want to talk to Mike Norvell because I know he's not listening. You better be getting ready for Notre Dame. Mike Norvell?
Oh, my God.
Listen to me now. You have been terrific so far in August. You haven't told anybody, nobody, who's the starting quarterback Sunday night in Tallahassee. Let me go to the master of masters, Bill Belichick, as good as there's ever been in football. Bill Belichick just finished up his last preseason game over the weekend. He was asked, he was asked, who is your quarterback for the opener? Bill Belichick, who's got like 7,500 Super Bowl wins, said, quote, I don't know. He goes, we're not ready to name a starter quarterback. We still have a lot of decisions to make, end quote. Their season starts next week. Mike Norvell, take a page from the Mark Packer, Never Coach a Day in Your Life book, and Bill Belichick. Between us both, 7,500 Super Bowl wins. Don't name a starter. Don't you dare. You wait till Sunday night when Chief Osceola absolutely has that place in a frenzy. And the Irish come out of that little tunnel with only one person allowed per, and let them come right out. And let Notre Dame and Brian Kelly look across the field. And Brian Kelly, you can read his lips. Go, who's starting at quarterback? And you, Mike Norvell, do this. Don't know.
I don't know.
You'll find out when we break the huddle. That is what I love so far about Mike. Mike Norvell has been fantastic at saying absolutely nothing regarding the starting quarterback. So, again, you find out Sunday night when that scene right there happens.
Coach, here's the deal. When we run conference cuts later this week, we need to be able to run the cut. My friend Mark Packer said, and I agree, I don't know.
You'll find out Sunday.
You'll find out Sunday night.
Yeah, I talked to Pack and Bill Belichick. You know what?
Mark and I have talked, and we've decided
we got work.
We don't know.
Yeah, we got work to do this week. We're not ready to name one yet.
Yeah. You know, a lot of decisions to make. Yeah.
Texas named their starting quarterback yesterday. Hey, fine. Whatever.
Oh, did they? Great.
Yeah, Texas did. They're back, you know, Texas.
Yeah.
They're back.
Texas is back?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, that's what my buddies on the radio tell me every day. Pack, we're back. Okay.
So again, look at all the free advice that's been handed out on the show today.
That's right. You can probably hear it on the podcast because I understand we have one of those too. Got a podcast.
We do. Yeah. Subscribe to the Packer and Durham podcast, wherever you get your podcast, whatever platform you subscribe to. Thanks to Jeff Hafley and Lamar Brownlow for being part of the Monday program.
Can we find out where we're actually broadcasting from Thursday before Norvell lets out the secret of who the starter cornerback is? What happens first? We find out where we're going Thursday, or Norvell can keep it past Thursday. What happens?
I think we find out where we're going to broadcast from before he says who the quarterback is.
All right. Just asking. Yeah, from right here.
We're going to be in Raleigh on Thursday, by the way, at 7 a.m. We'll let you know where, maybe by Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow with Scott Satterfield on Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.